Good morning. Good to see all you guys, as well as those streaming online. And as we start this morning, why don't we start with prayer, asking God for help before we receive from His Word. God, we thank You that You are here with us, that You love us, and that You are at work. I thank You and agree with all that Pastor Dave prayed for earlier. We also pray now that You would touch our hearts and minds, that You would meet us here, and amid the difficulties we're facing, that You would build us up and encourage us in ways that help us to worship You and in ways that help us to be Your blessing in the world and all the people around us and our relationships, as well as overseas as we have opportunity. Help us, God, to be blessings because of how You have blessed us and how You will bless us now as we receive from Your Word. We pray that You would do all this and more, not only in here, but as we relate afterwards and with everything else that happens in our building this morning, as well as in the other churches in the area. May You be glorifying Yourself in great ways, and may we respond appropriately to it. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was recently with some people from our church, and we were all sharing prayer requests together. And it struck me how many of the prayer requests had the same theme, that there was this ongoing theme of people talking about a way they were trying to serve God and serve people, but then a difficulty had come up, a difficulty that was outside their control and that was now hindering their service to God and others. And when we're trying to do what's right and then difficulties get in the way of that, it's easy to get frustrated. And it's hard to keep staying focused on serving God and people in love amid all of our difficulties. And the difficulty of that service and thinking of God and others only gets more difficult the more our difficulties multiply. You know, difficulties could include a physical issue that's sapping your energy to where you just feel drained all the time. Difficulties could include somebody who made a really important commitment to you not following through on that commitment. Could be a spiritual attack, a relationship that's falling apart, mental challenge making everything just heavier and harder, financial stress, loss of a loved one, bullying, gossip, family member with chronic needs. You know, on and on we could go listing many difficulties. With enough difficulties, we may be tempted to check out, to just kind of put on our give up on life pants and no longer worry about serving God and people. Or with enough difficulties, we may find ourselves so emotionally on edge that we end up afflicting other people, that we really want to be serving in love. Difficulties. And so wouldn't it be great if there was a seasoned Christian who could help us to keep serving, to keep going, even amid all our difficulties? Well, we've got one in the Apostle Paul, a leader from the early church who went through it all. And we're going to hear from Paul this morning as we continue our series in the New Testament letter of 2 Corinthians. So if you've got a Bible or a Bible app, I invite you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at this time, or you can follow along with the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. And if you're new to reading the Bible, not familiar with Paul's story, I'll let you know that he served God and people in some incredible ways, and as he did so, Paul endured many difficulties. Paul endured public beatings, plural, imprisonments, plural, spiritual attacks, plural, shipwrecks, plural, relational attacks, and an attempted stoning, and murder plots, and going without food and water at times, and inadequate clothing at points, a chronic thorn in the flesh, as well as pressure over his daily concern for all the churches that he planted. So Paul knew difficulties. In fact, last week Pastor Dave shared about a big sin and discipline issue here in this specific Corinthian church that Paul was so concerned about that he could not have any peace of mind until he got a positive update on that situation. And Paul at times faced so many difficulties that he tells the church here in Corinth in chapter 1 of this letter, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." So Paul experienced difficulties, heavy difficulties. He knew what those were like. And yet, by God's grace, Paul somehow kept serving God and other people, even amid all of these difficulties. And so, having told us about his difficulties, Paul is now going to share in this passage with us about the glories of serving God and people. Glories that are helping Paul, that have energized him by the Spirit to keep serving even amid all of his difficulties. And we're going to see the first of these glories in verse 14 of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read that for you now. Here Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God." So having talked about the difficulties before, Paul shifts abruptly here in these verses to a scene of thanksgiving and glory. Back in Paul's time, a triumphal procession was a huge festive Roman celebration after they won a war. And the victorious Roman general would lead his army in their best-dressed uniforms through the streets of Rome and up a hill, showing off the spoils of war to the cheering Roman people who were lining the streets as incense was burnt in worship to the Roman gods. And with this powerful image of victory and celebration, Paul helps us to remember that no matter what difficulties we face in life and ministry, Jesus is triumphal. He is victorious over sin and death. Pastor Ray Stedman, in his book Authentic Christianity, talks about how this can give Jesus' followers an unquenchable optimism. That we know that we share in Jesus' glorious victory, and knowing that can help us to make our service to him feel like it is always worth it, even in the difficulties. Now, if you're like me, your life is not so much characterized by unquenchable optimism. If you're like me, then you might be more characterized by having disappointments over your difficulties and in how those difficulties limit you in serving others. You know, you see all these needs and opportunities around you, and you've got these desires in you to bless people and to make a difference in certain ways. And then your difficulties limit how much you can make a difference in the lives of others. And so in those situations, we need to focus on how Jesus has won the victory, how he lets his followers share in his glory, that we are part of his triumphal procession. Thanks be to God. And as incense was burnt in worship to the Roman gods in their triumphal procession, so we can worship God as we keep spreading his love and good news, even amid our difficulties, being a pleasing aroma to him with our service, as verse 15 talks about. And even in difficulties, as verse 14 says here, God still uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you'll have some big ministry that everyone's going to be impressed with, or that all of your service desires inside of you are going to be fulfilled. Even Paul himself had this deep desire to reach his fellow Jewish people and didn't reach as many as he hoped. But we can be confident that as we depend on God, God will work through us to impact others, that he will accomplish his purposes in our lives, even amid our difficulties. Now for the victorious Roman general of the triumphal procession and his army and the Roman people lining the streets. The aroma from the incense that they burned, that was the sweet smell of victory. But for the defeated captives of war, forced to join in the triumphal procession, that same smell was the smell of impending slavery or death. And so as God works through us, for some this will be a pleasing aroma that brings life. While for others who reject God and the gospel, it will smell more like death. But either way, responsibility for the response as you represent Jesus, that rests on the recipients, not with you. Whatever response you receive, you still have the glory of sharing Jesus, displaying his love, inviting people into a life-changing relationship with him. It's your opportunity. And so if you don't yet identify as a Jesus follower, please don't leave here without him this morning. He came and lived a perfect life in your place, on your behalf. And then on the cross, he took the shame that you possess. He took your sin from you. He took it on himself so that through dying for your sins and rising from the dead, he could share with you his forgiveness, his love. He could give you meaning and purpose in life, even share with you his triumphal glory. And now for those of us who follow Jesus, being part of this kind of glorious ministry comes with great responsibility. We represent God. And so as verse 17 says, we're not to peddle God's word for profits, like some huckster salesperson looking to make a quick buck off others. Rather, we are to speak sincerely as those who really have been sent by God. And even if we speak and serve sincerely, we may face unfair criticism along the way, which Paul addresses in verse 1 of chapter 3. He says there, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." So there were some false teachers who had come to this Corinthian church armed with letters of recommendation. And they sought to undermine Paul's ministry in Corinth by saying something to the Corinthians like, "Oh, Paul didn't provide you a letter of recommendation when he came? Wonder what happened in the last place he served. Wonder why nobody wants to affirm him with a letter of recommendation." Now, Paul himself was not against letters of recommendation, which are kind of like ministry job references today. He actually wrote some of those letters himself. But since Paul was the founding pastor of the Corinthian church, the church already knew what Paul was about, and so they shouldn't need a reference from an outsider. And so Paul defends himself by saying that the ways God's Spirit worked through Paul's ministry to start and grow the Corinthian church, to change people's hearts, that was the only letter Paul needed with that specific church. And so, in all this, Paul is responding to his critics who say, "Why don't you have a letter?" by saying, "I do have a letter. It's a letter written from Christ, not on ink and paper, but with the Spirit." And so this is quite the mic drop by Paul towards his critics. Like Paul, as we serve Jesus, whether we're facing unfair criticism or other difficulties, we, like Paul, also serve in the power of God's Spirit. And Paul describes this further, starting in verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Back in chapter 2, when Paul described our glorious ministry in Jesus, he asked a question in verse 16, and who is equal to such a task? And here in these verses, we get our answer, that our confidence and competence comes from God. He has made us confident and competent as ministers of a new covenant, serving in the power of God's Spirit, who gives life, as verse 6 says. Because serving Jesus is about depending on God's power, our confidence and competence do not need to decrease when we feel incapable, weak, overwhelmed amid our difficulties. And our confidence and competence in serving do not need to decrease whenever, because of something like COVID, we can serve less people and don't have as many ways to serve. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about what God provides to us. And since God's Spirit provides our confidence and competence, our weakness and our difficulties can even be to our advantage, as they pull us away from depending on our hard work or talents or relational network or finances or on and on we could go. And instead return to the source of confidence and competence, the true source, which is God's Spirit, that He dwells within you. And so as Christian author Douglas McKelvey invites us, be liberated now from this burden of believing that anything depends on you. And so be liberated at last to give yourself to His joyful service in grateful response for the grace He has lavished upon you. Grace that includes the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And with His power and presence, we can share about Jesus. We can serve people in love, and we can model Jesus' good alternative for our worlds, even in such a time as this. For the power of God Himself that brings life is working through us together. What a glory this is. Now, you may have noticed in verse 6 that Paul compares an old way of ministry with a new way of serving God. That the old is by the letter, and the new way is by the Spirit. And the old way here is what we call today the Old or the Mosaic Covenant. And this is talking about 1,500 years before Jesus' earthly ministry, God freed Moses and the Israelite people from slavery in Egypt. And God chose the Israelite people as His special people to represent Him to the world and to be His priests. And He gave the Israelites, as part of that, the Old Testament law. And at Mount Sinai, a covenant was made between God and His covenant chosen people. And we call this the Old Covenant. And there the Israelites, they covenanted, they committed to obey God's law and represent God to all the other peoples of the world. And if Israel obeyed God's law, God was going to provide abundant blessing to them. While if they disobeyed, it was going to lead to discipline. And this old covenant and its law from God, it had a glory to it. They were good things given by a good God. But if you read the rest of the Old Testament, most of the time the Israelites were breaking the covenants they made with God. God's law did not stop human sin, and it did not establish right standing before God. Instead, God's law kept pronouncing God's judgments on the people who kept breaking it. God's law brought death, because of everyone's disobedience. And so later in the Old Testament, God's messengers like Jeremiah and Ezekiel began to speak about God making a new covenant to replace the old. A new covenant where sins are forgiven and where God's law is written not on stone, but on people's hearts and in their minds. And verses 7 through 11 here that we're about to read describe the glory of the old covenant and the abundant glory of the new covenant, which was established by Jesus through his death and resurrection. And so let's see the glory of the old and the greater glory of the new, starting in verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? And if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? When God came to Mount Sinai and gave his law to Moses, there was thunder and lightning, fire and smoke, a violent quaking of the ground, and a deafening trumpet blast that grew louder and louder, and all the Israelites trembled. And when Moses came down from the mount after meeting with God, his face intently shone with God's glory, as verse 7 says here. And so you could say that the old covenant, it came in glory. And if this old covenant, where God's law is engraved on stone, unable to help people to fulfill its demands, was glorious, then is not the ministry of the Spirit engraving God's law in our hearts even more glorious? And if this old covenant that brought condemnation and death in the end because of everyone's disobedience had glory to it, then how much more glorious is the ministry that brings forgiveness and love and life all by God's grace? And it's why Paul is able to say this in verse 10. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? The role of God's law under the old covenant was transitory, as verse 11 says, meaning that it no longer operates with the coming of Jesus, though we can still learn from God's law. In contrast, the new covenant and the power of God's Spirit is permanent. How much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Now that we understand something from looking at these verses of the abundant glory of the new covenant in this ministry by the Spirit, I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 again, which are going to be on the screen. And as I read, let's get participatory. Every time there's a place where the verses say glory or glorious, say that word out loud with me. The glory and glorious in the white text are going to refer to the old covenant. And so you can say those words in a normal tone of voice, those glory and gloriouses, normal volume. But the glory and glorious in gold text are referring to the new covenant, the greater, abundant glory kind of covenant. And so let's make sure we say those words, not meekly, but with some volume this morning. So are you guys ready to read those glory and gloriouses with me, and I'll read it all? Okay. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? And if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Amen. That's a lot of glories right there. Now, Paul, he faced heavy difficulties in his life and in his ministry. But Paul focused on the glories, knowing that he was privileged to serve in Christ's triumphal procession in the power of God's Spirit under an abundantly glorious new covenant. And so, despite his difficulties, and even times when Paul despaired of life itself, he kept serving God and people as he focused on the glories. And God has worked through Paul's service and difficulties by his Spirit's power for nearly 2,000 years now and counting. And so how might God use our service in difficulties now and in the coming years? And so let's join Paul and learn from him in this passage and take a next step together this morning that Paul took before us. In the difficulties, focus on the glories. For if you know Jesus, you are privileged to serve as part of his triumphal procession. You share in his victory. And so can you imagine what it is going to be like when we get to celebrate that victory with him face to face? Glory. And in the meantime, our service to Jesus is in the power of God's Spirit. Glory. Do you realize that you are intimately connected with and that the God of all is dynamically working through you? Glory. And we get to serve under a new covenant, a groundbreaking, abundantly glorious kind of ministry. That's what we serve under, that kind of glory. And is this new covenant ministry, is it what you're investing your life in today? You know, we are going to talk more about what it looks like to serve under the new covenant next Sunday. So difficulties and glories. I see my difficulties. They're right in front of my face. They're discouraging. They're easy for me to focus on. And as one of your pastors, I carry some of your difficulties in my heart too. So there's difficulties here. Because of that, I need to focus on the glories as well. Glories that are going to help me to be energized by God's Spirit, to serve God and people in love. Glories. And so that's where I'm living, difficulties and glories. And it's why this passage matters to me and why it matters for all of us. Because we need God's help, clearly, as we've seen through the passage, in living this kind of ministry out. Let's, as we conclude our service, come to him and ask for his help in prayer. God, we thank you for your amazing grace poured out to us through faith in Jesus. We want to give you all praise and honor and glory, God, for the ways that you let us share in your glory and all the ways you work through us. And so, God, I pray, I'll confess that I do not focus on the glories and I don't seek your help in staying there in the ways that I can and that I should. And I get overly focused on the difficulties. And so for any of us here that resonate with that, we confess, God, that while it's appropriate to look at the difficulties, to grieve the difficulties, it can even be a good thing. But that we also want to make sure by your grace, by your enabling power of the Spirit, that we are also focusing on the glories. And that as we focus there as well, and as your Spirit makes these things true in our hearts and minds experientially, and as we encourage one another in these things, we pray that it would energize us to continue to serve you and serve people in love as your glorious new covenant representatives, depending upon your glorious Spirit to help us and to make the impact through us. And we pray that you would do this all to your glory, Jesus. And we pray it all in your name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.